Astro. Yeah, yeah. 13 hours till I land, have me out like a light, ay, like a light, ay, like a light, ay, slept through the flight.
This song is a jam, man.
It is a jam.
Falero's in here dancing. Solana and Falero here on 560 WQM. It's not the Alex Dono show anymore that we're filling in for.
It's not.
Because Alex Dono now works from 10 to 2.
He sold us out tonight.
Did he?
Yeah, it's his shift. It was on the schedule.
He
Alex
worked.
Dono
on the
show.
Schedule, bro.
Was he really?
He was, yeah.
He worked from 10 to 2 yesterday, the debut of the Dono and Frito show here on 560 WQAM. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., then had to do 2 hours and a Panthers game. That's rough, man. That is rough. It's
his
a lot of radio.
His fault?
We've done two segments, and we're like, out
I'm
of
gassed.
Ideas. We're out of ideas.
I'm gassed.
Luckily, we're going to be joined by Omar Kelly here. You can follow him at Omar Kelly. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Omar Kelly is brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. What's up, Omar?
I'm glad to be joining you two because I've got respect for both of you guys, and hopefully they'll consider you seriously to replace Dono in this night shift here.
Thank you, Omar.
Thank
appreciate
you, Omar.
That.
Hopefully that opinion is the same in about 10 to 12 minutes once this interview is done. Yeah. So before we get to the Dolphins, because we already saw the South Florida Sun Sentinel predictions for the game, so we already know which direction that's going to be headed in. So I went to Art Basel last night, Omar. I don't know if you saw, I wore a women's sweater. I wore my mom's
women's sweater.
My mom's vintage 80s sweater to Art Basel, and Falero, he's been ripping me all day, saying that, you know, I only go to Art Basel because I'm basic and I'm just trying to fit in. You're going to Art Basel, right?
Well, yeah, I am. I've been the last two nights, and I'm going again tonight to another party. But the vintage women's sweater, I would say you fit in. You would fit in Art Basel. I don't know if you wore it to fit in Art Basel. It's just it's strange because I hang out in Wynwood all the time, as you guys know. That's like my backyard, so it's like going to the local neighborhood bar for me. And Art Basel is unique because it's like the same bars that I go to, but the people are just a tad weirder, not even tad, a lot weirder.
Yeah,
a lot more artsy, a lot more unique. Men dress in women's clothing, you know, like your mother's sweater that you chose to wear. It's just very unique. So if you like to see a slice of the world that is, you know, that is unique and original, and you know, cannot be defined. This is your weekend.
Yeah. Oh, but my argument is that when Art Basel comes into town, all these hipsters and millennials, I want to go because I want to go and go see some art. They don't really love art. They want to go and get drunk and party. Like, just try. Don't try to be basic.
See, you're right, but considering people from the world come to, you know, the hipsters of the world and the artists of the world and the artsy fartsy people of the world come, you just want to be amongst that and you want to feel cultured. And I could go out there and I drink. I could go out there and drink and do what I do every weekend out there. It's the same bars that I'm going to. It's just the people are a little different.
I think Eric Falero is just jealous of us, Omar, because we are cultured. We are one with the culture. And we spend our time in Wynwood, and he spends his time in Miami Lakes. I think that's why he's jealous.
I'd like to be a homebody, man. I like to go out and go to the movies. I don't like art, so I'm not going to force myself to go somewhere I don't like.
Well, I mean, but you got to consider your significant other as well. Maybe sometimes she wanted to.
She does like art. She does like art. I gotta suck it up sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta suck it up and do it for the team. If you said, "Baby, we're going to Art Basel. Get dressed. Look pretty for me tonight." I guarantee you, she'd get excited and you'd get some.
Right. Start taking notes, by the way.
I am going to take notes.
Because, Omar, as
writing
you know, you're about to tie the knot in a couple months. Eric Falero, in March, is walking down that aisle as well. You better start taking notes. Yeah, you didn't know?
No, I didn't know it was March, bro.
March 3rd, man, the Palms Hotel.
Look at you. So you've been through the stress of planning as well.
Yeah, we're still looking for a florist and stuff like that. But
I am too. In fact, I think I might have found one. I might be able to recommend it to you.
They're expensive, man.
Yeah, they are.
Everything's so expensive for weddings. All right, let's get to the nitty-gritty of Dolphins. You know, Tom Brady has struggled in Miami against the Dolphins. I believe he's 7-9. Jay Cutler beat them last year. Do the Dolphins
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. let's not do this. Tom Brady has struggled against Dolphins. Tom Brady has struggled against Jason Taylor's Dolphins. Tom Brady has struggled playing South Florida at home, you know, in the heat and humidity. But I'm not sure it's fair to say Tom Brady has struggled against the Dolphins. Like, yeah, Jason Taylor's Dolphins beat him up quite a bit.
Oh, but they forced him to 7-3 and outs last year, and they held him to a single game lowest passer rating of 4 seasons.
Okay. I get, you know, last year I can't even explain that game. I really can't. It was the one game that injected hope. The Dolphins, they finally played the way they ideally planned to play all season as a team. And then the next week they made a goose egg against Kansas City. So, you know, they definitely get up for this game. You know, they feel good about themselves. Anything can happen if their offense shows up. The problem is their offense doesn't show up very often.
Which is exactly what I was trying to explain to Flero. I really don't understand this, where Omar, and you said it best, people are looking at past seasons and saying the Dolphins play the Patriots well at home. I mean, there's a reason why all six of you at the Sun Sentinel chose the New England Patriots, right? Like, there's a reason why, and it's because we don't have faith in the Miami Dolphins. Like, we've spoken about it, how even after wins, even after the, what was the most recent win? Buffalo. Like, you leave those games as a fan or even in the media watching those games, you're not confident.
Feeling good about yourself.
Right, you're not.
Yeah. You were confident in the early in the season, 3-0, and then the Patriots just pimp slapped you and everything changed. The next week you had a lead against Cincinnati and Ryan Tannehill gets hurt and then he's, you know, Brock Osweiler's your starter for 5 games. Tannehill comes back. Adam Gase doesn't trust him to throw on third and 10?
Yeah.
With the game on the line, they get 2-3 and outs. The defense lets Andrew Luck throw a miraculous pass on 3rd and 8 that gets them in the scoring territory that kicks a winning field goal. And last week, they look like crap again against Buffalo Bills, but somehow Josh Allen, even though he's scrambling for 138 yards, throws a desperation pass to Charles Clay that drops the ball. And that sums up the Dolphins' season. But let me put it to you this way, just so that you can gain some what I view as the accurate perspective or the objective perspective about the season. The Dolphins are 6-6 and in the playoff hunt. They're legitimately in the playoff hunt in December, which is what every team's goal is, despite having the 29th worst offense and the 29th worst defense in the NFL. Now, explain how that happened with an injury decimated team to the point where they're playing with one healthy receiver against the Colts and you know all their injuries and you know all their issues, and now they got to go into this week without their top player in Xavier Howard. Explain how you're 6-6 with the 29th best offense and 29th best defense.
Omar, that was literally my next question to you. I had Gase had a lot of injuries. They ranked terrible in every single category except takeaways. How is this team 6-6? This team could have been 8-4 as well if they just made a couple of plays against the Colts and Bengals. How can this team be that much in the playoff hunt?
Well, they're good at home. That they're a different team when they're at home as opposed to when they're on the road. They're not a very good road team. Turnovers and takeaways. They have been extremely good defensively on that accord, and it's put them in position to win games. And let's not factor that they've scored 2 touchdowns on special teams. They've blocked how many punts and field goals. So they're very good. They're top 3 unit on special teams. And to explain how they're in this position is they play good team ball. It's not good football. It's good team ball. They're always resilient. They're always scrappy. They're always fighters. They haven't quit on themselves. They haven't stopped believing. Now, does it look pretty? No, it doesn't look pretty. But it's efficient and it gets the job done. I make the argument to a lot of people if they didn't lose Tannehill and maybe they have a little bit of a luck and Andre Branch gets a holding call against the Indianapolis Colts, this team would be 8-4. I mean, they're literally this close to being 8-4. Nobody cares because you're not, but you know that it's a very fine line between winning and losing in the NFL, especially when you're an 8-8 team, which is what I believe they are. And you really just have to make that 1 or 2 or 3 plays per game that decide the outcome. And somehow, some way, they've managed to do that 6 contests.
And I feel like the players recognize this, right, Omar? Like, I mean, we understand the quote-unquote culture that Gase has tried to push. Players mm-hmm. that he's either clashed with or just didn't get along with, he traded them, he cut them. So you know, the guys in the locker room, for the most part, I believe, do like Gase, and they realize this, right? Where, you know, the team is injury-riddled, but they're still somehow 6-6 and in the playoff hunt. They credit that to Gase, right?
I don't know if they're crediting it to Gase. I think they're crediting it to team unity, because I wouldn't necessarily say that players are saying, oh, well, he's doing a great job because, you know, the offense sucks. He's the play caller. Nobody else can take responsibility for that but him. But they, you know, you talk about the injury in the Xavier Howard, and there's a universal theme that goes that's every man. It's the next man up. Take responsibility for what role you're going to play, and be accountable to your brothers. And that's been consistent through Gase. They led to a ton of success in 2016, and it's held them afloat this year. Another theme is, you know, with the next week, all you worry about is 1 week. You're not thinking about the playoff picture. You're not thinking about the implications of what happens if we lose this game. Just focus on this 1 week and this one opponent, and then move from there. And that singular focus has benefited them. It's helped them. And, you know, like, look at I give you a perfect example, Jacksonville. Man, they played so horribly against Tennessee because probably most of the players have already quit. You know, they're out there on the field, but they've mentally quit. And this team hasn't mentally quit. And, in fact, and I do agree with them, they haven't played good football yet. There's more meat on this bone that they haven't gotten to. We haven't seen a Kenyon Drake, you know, real breakout game yet. We haven't seen, you know, Kenny Stills deliver a big play. Hell, Mike Gesicki's on a milk carton right now. They have not played a good collective game yet, and it's there. It's gonna happen one of these four games.
Flair on Solana here on 560 WQM, joined by Omar Kelly. You can follow him at Omar Kelly and find his work on the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Omar, is this Ryan Tannehill's last season with the Dolphins?
I don't think so. I probably will be in the minority of people who say that, but I can read the tea leaves, and I'm pretty good at it, I think. And Ryan's having a statistical career year. It's not impressive, but it's clean. I mean, that's the best way that I can describe him. Your options to go replace him are the best I could give you is Teddy Bridgewater, unless you want to trade first-round picks for Derek Carr. You know, or you could draft a young quarterback and add him to the fold, but I would tell you it's going to be, especially considering what's out there in the draft, it's going to be hard for one of those rookies to unseat him. So right now, especially if Adam Gase is back, I have a hard time telling you that Ryan Tannehill won't be back. But I will tell you that more than likely he'll have competition in terms of either a veteran that they add or a young player that they draft. And hopefully he will have to compete for the job and not just, you know, be grandfathered to him like it has his entire career. But I don't have, right now, I don't have any doubt in my mind that Tannehill's going to be back. I know who he is. I know how hard he works. I know how the organization feels about him. And yeah, it's going to be hard for you to sell that to the fans, but you know how you satisfy fans. You just get them a first round draft pick quarterback or a second round draft pick quarterback, and they'll be right on board again. They'll be like, oh, wait till Tannehill struggles, and we'll put in the young guy, and he'll be great. And they don't realize that's not really how it happens.
Right, you sell them hope, which is essentially what the Dolphins have done at around week 14 every year. Right, they're 6-6. Yeah. 5-6 in the playoff hunt, and then they just poop themselves and they miss the playoffs, and we know what happens. Omar, thank you so much for joining us, man. You were great as always. Again, you can follow him at Omar Kelly. Have fun at our Basel.
I will. I'll do my best. I can't promise you I'll stay out too late because I'm not a big fan of crowds.
Sounds good. If you need to borrow a vintage sweater, a female sweater, let me know.
I got to see this picture.
I'm gonna tweet it, Omar. I'll tweet it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Thanks again, Omar. You can follow us, by the way, at Eric Falero, at Alex M. Solana.
E-R-I-C-K. You got to make sure you say that because everybody thinks Eric is E-R-I-K or E-R-I-C. I got both.
Hector, what's your Twitter handle?
Esteban Mejia.
Okay. Yeah.
23.
Why'd you ask him?
You want to spell that one, Flero?
Nope.
We'll be right back here on 560 WQM.
Studios. Morse has more. Ed Morse is your only Cadillac dealer of the year in Broward and Dade County.
Que tú eres mía, mía, tú sabes que eres mía, mía, tú misma lo decías, cuando yo te lo hacía.
Hector playing the jams,
it
man.
Is a great song. I know Hector loves Drake.
This makes you want to go to Purdy.
You don't want to go to Art Basel?
Huh?
Not Batio? Purdy?
Oh, Hector loves Batio.
You love El Batio.
But Batio's you love Purdy, best, though. Man.
I do love Purdy. You love El Patio. Here's my problem with El Patio. It's just too crowded, man. Like, you, especially on Sundays. I used to love going to El Patio on Sundays. They had, like, that nice happy hour special. And fine, they charge you, like, $40, but they guarantee you two drinks. Like, whatever. I'll pay the $40 cover because it's cool. A lot of cool people out there. But now it's just, like, too packed. There's people everywhere.
So
I
then
can't
go
move.
To Tucandela.
I have been. Ooh.
What are you guys talking about, man?
Hector and I had a good night at Tucandela.
Just stay in, watch a movie, order some restaurant.
You are so old, Falero. It is unbelievable. You're what? You're 26,
26,
right?
Yeah.
You're 26,
I've
you're getting married.
I lived my life.
I understand that. You've lived your life. You've done what you wanted to do. Now you've found somebody that you love
found
and you
love
get along
a
with.
Place, yeah.
I get that. But your fiance, Kim, she likes to go out. She likes to dance.
She doesn't like to go out. She doesn't mind dancing. Like, we went to Basement the other day. It was pretty cool.
Wow, thank you. Look at you, Basement.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But, like, it's a once in a, like, 3 or every 4 months kind of thing for me. Not every weekend. I don't know how you guys can do that, bro. Relax.
We're going to Miami, bro. It's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
No?
No, exactly.
It's not. Just relax.
Hey, that's exactly how I want you to do your updates from now on. Screw that white guy talk, okay? Talk just like that. This is Miami.
I'm taking shots at Hector.
We're going to Tucandela.
Hector worked hard on that update.
Shots. They came up on us, man.
We had a good time at Tucandela, man.
What'd you guys do? What movie was on?
I do like Purdy, though.
Purdy's okay. I find it more chill.
It's less Spanish music than it is than like El Patio, obviously, and Tucandela, for obvious reasons. You don't have to search anywhere else, but in the title, text in 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Where you like to go out in Miami. And we're from Miami, so don't text me with any Fort Lauderdale nonsense, okay? By the way, Dade, just greater than Broward, right? We're all in agreement there.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I know
that.
I'm about to isolate like 80% of our audience because I'm pretty sure more people in Broward listen. And yeah, I'm going to trigger you guys. Going out in Miami-Dade, in Miami, downtown, Wynwood, South Beach, it's better than going out. I get it, Las Solas. You guys have a nice little scene up there. And we're going to be there tomorrow for our holiday party, which I want to get into, by the way, because it's just always weird, the holiday parties.
Is it?
It is. Like, we'll have a cool group with Hawk and Crowder. But it is kind of weird.
I mean, you're going to hate me for that. I'd rather go out in Las Olas than like Wynwood or something like that. Wynwood's, you can't park anywhere. Like Las Olas, you can go
to. Of course you would. Of course you would say that.
You can go to Taco Craft. Oh, I love Taco Craft. Then you have a nice drink around there. They have a nice little wine bar, vinos. Ooh.
You got me with the vino, though.
I know you do. I know you like wine, so you can't hate on me.
Might have to hit that up tomorrow. So Omar Kelly, he joined us in the previous segment. You can find all our interviews and our show today on 560 WQAM. Or no, excuse me, WQAM.com.
You said 560 WQAM? Sometimes I don't listen. I'm sorry.
WQAM.com. Omar Kelly said something which I found very interesting. He said, without a doubt, Ryan Tannehill will be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins next year. He said, without a doubt. It wasn't, he said.
Yeah, maybe he'll be
back. Right,
yeah.
Because I do see scenarios, many scenarios, where Ryan Tannehill is back next year as a member of the Dolphins and starting. I see more scenarios where he's not. Starting with this week against the Patriots this Sunday in 2 days. But I do see a scenario where the Miami Dolphins finish 8-8. Just barely missed the playoffs.
That's every year. Every year is the same. They finish 8-8.
Right. But specifically this season, you're talking about Tannehill after 7 seasons. Again, probably more likely than not missing the playoffs. This team hasn't really inspired anybody to look, you know, at Tannehill as the future. And we still don't know. It's another year of he's injured. What about the offensive line? Everybody's hurt. Like, it's just ongoing with Tannehill. Hawk always says it. It's not that Tannehill's bad. He's okay.
He's average.
That's it. Like, enough with the nonsense. We don't want another year of the same thing. And yeah. And I agree with that. But I do understand where, you know, the Dolphins can't just say, bleep it, will be really bad next year and just start, you know, whoever they can pick up in the draft. Because, I mean, you don't want to do that because that's how you really end up, you know, handicapping your franchise.
But you don't have to do it like that. Look at Kansas City. They traded up for the draft for Mahomes. Like,
I get
these
that,
teams
but
can trade up.
I'm so tired of people using Kansas City as an example, and here's why. I understand what they did was unbelievable. I get it, okay? Mm-hmm. And by the way, there are two losses this season. Kansas City and two losses are averaging 45 points. Yeah. Just let that sink in for a second. Kansas City and two losses this season in the NFL are averaging 45 points in those losses. That is absurd.
Dolphins can't score 45 points in three games.
Most teams can't score 45 points in three games, especially not the Miami Dolphins. But I'm tired of people using Kansas City as this example. Everybody, oh, just do what the Chiefs did. Like, you can't just find a Patrick Mahomes in the draft every season. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen.
Okay, then I use Arizona. Trade up for Josh Rosen. The Bills, trade up for Josh Allen. Do something like trade up in the draft. You don't have to tank. You just trade up.
What Omar said, inspire hope.
Yes.
Right?
Because I bet you the Bills fan base right now is more hopeful than the Dolphins fan base.
Well, yeah, that's what
and
happens.
And the Bills have a worse record.
That's what happens when even you lose, you know, was that Josh Allen?
Josh Allen runs
for more yards than the entire Miami Dolphins.
Ran for more yards than everybody in the NFL except for one guy. But okay, let me give you this. Let's say Tannehill wins these next four games. They go 10-6.
That's not going to
happen. No, but let's just say it does. They win it like they win. They beat the Buffalo team. Ugly. They give you no hope, but they make the playoffs. You still keep Tannehill?
You have to. Right? Like, unless...
But it's the same average quarterback.
A better option, a Russell Wilson, becomes available. I mean, obviously through trade. I mean, unless something like that becomes available to you, and you throw everything at that team for a Russell Wilson. I'm just using him
or Derek
as an
Carr.
Example.
Omar said Derek Carr. I'm not a fan of Derek Carr.
But it's the same guy, right?
I think so.
Ryan Tannehill.
That's what I think.
Blake Bortles. I get it. Tannehill's better than Blake Bortles, but they're all the same guy. Like, they're not the worst quarterback in the league. They're not Nathan Peterman, but they're not in a level where you're confident that they're going to win you a game week in, week out. And Adam Gase, by the way, despite, you know, for the past 3 years telling us that we need to believe in Tannehill as a fan base, as fans of this organization, he showed you 2 weeks ago in Indy that he doesn't even believe in this guy.
The guy who he's been speaking about Tannehill as his go-to guy for the past 3 years, and 3rd and 10 comes up and he didn't even trust him.
Which is exactly why it strikes me as odd that Omar Kelly, who is as knowledgeable on the Dolphins as anybody and is as around the team as anybody can be, says that without a doubt, Ryan Tannehill will be the starter next season and Adam Gase will be back. I'm having a hard time seeing this scenario. And it's been talked about here. I don't remember which show spoke about it, where Adam Gase, this season, the Dolphins missed the playoffs. And again, we're chalking this season up as another 8-8, 7-9, maybe 9-7. The Dolphins are probably going to miss the playoffs this year. And if they don't, fine. Tweet me, Alex M. Solana, tell me I'm an idiot. Fine. But it doesn't matter. Because even if they make the playoffs, they have no real chance at winning anything of substance. Like,
you're saying you're done with Tannehill, even if they make the playoffs. And
I think you have to be.
I'm with you. I don't like Tannehill as this guy. We should have got rid of him 2 years ago.
But I do understand why you would keep him if you do go after a young quarterback in the draft. Somebody you believe in. Somebody you want the fan base to see.
The Chiefs way, where they kept Alex Smith for Mahomes. They drafted Mahomes, but they kept Alex Smith. And they didn't start Mahomes at all. And then next year, they got rid of him.
I can see that scenario as well. But I'm having a hard time believing that Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, is going to sit there and say, another year of this. I just don't see it. And I'm not saying Omar's wrong, but he is so confident. He's saying it's a foregone conclusion, 100% chance Ryan Tannehill starting for the Miami Dolphins next year. I'm not telling you that I don't think it's going to happen. I'm saying I'm not that confident that it's going to happen. And I don't understand how Stephen Ross, the owner, who is clearly fed up. We never, ever saw Stephen Ross, butt his head into any decisions from the front office. This season, it did happen.
Yeah, where he
when
came
they took
out,
Minka,
yeah.
And he said something.
Yeah.
And whether he didn't like the Minka pick or not.
I don't think it's not he didn't like the Minka pick. I think he just wanted a quarterback.
He wanted what all of us wanted.
Josh Rosen.
Right.
We wanted the Dolphins to trade up one spot to get Josh Rosen.
Right. Because he knew this is the conversation we'd be having again this year. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. So it's just hard for me to see that scenario where the Dolphins finish 8-8 and they're just coming back with the same thing next year. Like,
you think Adam Gase comes back too?
I do. I mean, Omar alluded to it where, I mean, this team has been injury riddled and you can go either which way. I mean, there's arguments that each of us could take, positions we could take against Adam Gase, that it's his fault through 3 years that the Miami Dolphins don't have a quarterback. They don't have anybody that, you know, from the quarterback guru, they haven't improved the quarterback position. They've traded away all their best players or they've let go all their best players because of this quote-unquote culture that he's trying to instill, which clearly hasn't worked. I mean, and there's a bunch of guys that this team has gone after and signed that just aren't playing up to the level that we expected. But you could also see the other side, which is something that Omar said, where, I mean, all your playmakers this year.
Everybody's hurt.
And this team's still 6-6, and they're a couple of plays away from being 8-4.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Gase. I think he's the guy to right this ship. I just think...
Are you confident that Adam Gase...
Yeah.
From what you've seen, you're confident that Adam Gase can be a...
Yes. He's shown some...
A top caliber coach in the National Football League. I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying fire Gase. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just not sure if I've seen enough thus far through 3 years where I'm going to say I feel confident in Gase being the guy who can lead this team to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying I don't feel confident from what I've seen thus far.
I think he's shown some flashes. Like the first 3 weeks of this season when he had all his weapons, you saw the offense. You saw how they performed. When he has his weapons, they're a good team. It's just they're always injured. He lost his quarterback again for 5 games this year. He lost his quarterback all year last season. Like,
my brother just texted me. He's 33 years old. He was at space till 7 in the morning. Kanye West did a show last night. Did any of you guys see that? He just showed up at, I believe it was an Art Basel event, right?
Yeah, it was a surprise concert.
That's crazy, man. Do you guys know where? I don't know where it was. I had a friend that was there. I saw it on her Snap story.
Omar told me over the phone, but I forgot the place now.
Was he there?
No, but he knew about it. Like, he knew when it was going down.
See, that's what happens, Hilary. You go to Art Basel, and you end up watching Kanye West, a surprise appearance.
Why? Why would I want to go see him?
Why not?
He's a weirdo.
He is a weirdo. Yeah, I can't argue with you there.
Okay.
But you wouldn't want to go see, I don't know, anybody. Jay-Z, like at a surprise event, a small venue.
Only person, maybe Bruno Mars. I love Bruno Mars.
I mean, I get it. You like Bruno Mars, but I mean, we're talking about rappers here. You always have to bring up Bruno Mars when we're talking about rappers. Why?
I just don't think rappers put on a good show.
Like, but that's
just
not
true. When you rap, the song sounds better than the concert.
Falero would probably want to go see Bon Iver or Jack Johnson or something like that. That's
who?
The type of people that Falero wants to see.
Bon Iver? That's how you say his name? Bon Iver? I always thought it was Bon Iver.
I thought it was Bon Iver.
I say Bon Iver.
No, it's Bon Iver.
People say it differently, though.
I do like Bon Iver, by the way.
Oh, it is Bon Iver. Okay.
I like all of them, too, but I wouldn't, like, you know,
maybe
be
John,
waiting for them for a show.
Maybe John Legend? Come on.
John
Legend in a small little concert venue? Woo.
We were supposed to have a hookups.
Yeah, thanks.
To John Legend, but you know.
Which concert did you guys go together to?
Janelle Monáe.
Ah,
well, yeah.
Well, first of all, we didn't go together. Like, it wasn't Falero and I.
Oh, it was a double date. I know.
It was a double date with our Instagram. With his fiance and my girlfriend.
It was together.
It was together, though.
It was. Yeah, you're right, Hector. It was together.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Falero and Solana here on 560 WQAM with Hialeah Hector driving the show. We're filling in for somebody. We don't even know who we're filling in for. The Miami Heat, of course, play tonight. They start a 6-game Western Conference road trip versus the Phoenix Suns. I'm watching Blake Griffin just like fly all over the court. Like, man, we don't have anybody like that. Like, we have Bam Adebayo who flies all over the court. And then we're just hoping Josh Richardson makes a three in the fourth quarter, doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, that's pretty much what this Heat season's come to.
See, would you rather, like, I think Detroit and the Heat have a similar record. Would you rather be Detroit, right? Just because they have a star.
Entertaining. Okay, I guess. Yes, they have Blake Griffin, who on any night can be electrifying. But
I haven't watched maybe four or five Heat games I've watched because it's just not interesting. They're not fun to watch.
Okay, but if you do that, what you're doing right there, right, with Detroit.
It's selfish.
Would you rather be Detroit? They have a star. So what? They have no chance at winning the East. None. Zero chance at winning the East. Mm-hmm. They're not appealing as a city to attract free agents. Nobody wants to go play with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond anyways. And their contract situation isn't great. So, I mean, so what? Yeah, you have Blake Griffin. But, I mean,
but it gets me to watch.
They're not closer to an NBA title than the Miami Heat. Maybe by a little, but really what it comes down to is they're not winning the NBA title. They're not.
I get it. I never said they would, no, but like it's more fun to watch. I'm just saying I'm being selfish. I rather watch Detroit play than the Heat play. It's just how it is. Like the Heat aren't like I don't want to see Josh Richardson forcing up bad shots. I don't want to see Justice Winslow turning the ball over eight times a game. I don't want to see Hassan Whiteside moping every game. I just want to see something fun, exciting. They don't give us that. They give us no hope.
Texter wrote in earlier, we were talking about Mario Chalmers. I called Mario Chalmers the best Heat point guard in Heat history.
I don't know why you do things like that.
Somebody texted in, Norris Cole is the best Heat point guard in Heat history. Don't be ridiculous.
That's your brother, probably.
Is Chalmers, it's not. Is Chalmers getting his jersey retired by the Miami Heat? Is that going up in the rafters? Because right now we have Alonzo Mourning, number 33.
Mm-hmm.
We have Tim Hardaway, number 10. They retired Shaq. I don't really know why, but whatever.
Dan Marino's number. It makes
no
sense.
They retired Dan Marino, right?
It makes
number
no
13.
Sense. A 13 Dolphin jersey in the Raptors.
And people wear 13, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Mike
Miami
Miller
Heat.
Wore. And Bam. Bam wore 13.
Right, right.
That's weird.
Michael Jordan, of course, 23, is retired. So, okay, let's do this. Dwayne Wade, obviously, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Udonis Haslem, number 40. Which, by the way, would you guys like to see them get their jersey if they both retire this year? Wade has announced he's going to retire. There's no reason for him to stick around with this lousy team anyways for another season. You would think, now I'm not saying for sure, but you would think UD is going to retire with his boy, right? Like, it just makes sense. That's the script has been written. Wade returns for his final season and, you know, they retired together.
Mm-hmm.
And they started together for the Heat. And it just makes sense, right?
I'm surprised he didn't retire earlier. Because he's had that same role for the past, what, 4 years?
It's got to be tough to be UD, man. Like, you're putting in so much work.
Mm-hmm.
You can
tell he's working out hard. He just never gets any play time.
Right. Well, and he doesn't deserve any play time. Like, he could possibly be one of the worst players in the NBA right now. And I don't say that, you know, take shots at Udonis.
You take shots, man.
I love Udonis Haslem, one of my favorite players of all time. But he is, right? Like, he's not getting minutes anywhere in the NBA. Like, nowhere. No team in the NBA. Not even the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, he'll get some run in the Phoenix Suns
team,
bro.
No, he wouldn't.
Dude, have you seen their roster?
But exactly. They're all young guys. You'd rather just play a young guy. Anyways, do they get their jerseys lifted into the rafters of the American Airlines Arena together? Do you think they want that? Or do you think they'd prefer to each have their own night? Because I think, and most people disagree with me, I think they would like to do it together.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm not with you. I think they want their own night, especially D. Wade.
You think Wade?
I think UD would want to do it with Wade, but I think Wade deserves his own night. Like, it's the life of the franchise for the past 16 years.
I see it the other way around. I see Dwayne Wade saying, yo, UD, let's do it together.
No.
And here's why. Because they're boys, and because Wade knows it's really about him anyways. Like, everybody loves UD. And he is the OG Heat lifer. Like, he really is. Wade left. He is the OG Heat lifer. And they're going to retire his jersey, but Wade knows. Come on. Like, he's the man. He is the Dan Marino.
Exactly. So right? have your own night. Then that maybe UD goes up to him, hey, listen, man,
right.
this is your night.
I think it's UD that says, I want my own night. I don't want my night to be overshadowed by your greatness, by your legacy. I want my own night. Heck, do you think they get their jerseys retired together?
No, but they have a restaurant together.
They do.
Might help your case.
It might. They should just do the whole ceremony over there. Fit 20,000 in at a, what's it called? 800
what
degrees?
What is that place called?
Yeah, 800 degrees.
I've been told it's good, by the way. Really good.
It's like every other.
You ever been 1,000?
Yeah, I have been 1,000 once, yeah. It's cool. Like, it's pizza. You get to make your own pizza, and then they're all the same.
What would our restaurant be called, Flero?
The Two Losers.
I don't know, man. Like, I think...
You don't agree?
No. It was just a bad joke. I think UD and Wade retiring their jersey together on the same night would just be cool for Heat Nation. But to continue the conversation, Wade, UD, get their jerseys retired. No question. Bosch, does he get his jersey retired?
Yes. I think it takes a little bit, but yeah, they do.
LeBron?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. You're going to say Mario Chalmers wore number 6 before LeBron got here.
No.
So they're going to retire LeBron's number, and you're going to be, oh, look, they retired the greatest point guard of all time, Mario Chalmers.
They'll retire LeBron James, number 6, right? Like, if they did it for Shaq, they'll do it for LeBron.
They better do it for LeBron.
Now I present you Mario Chalmers, the number 15. All right, won't get crazy. The only Heat point guard to start on 2 championship teams. He was also the only Heat player in franchise history to that point that started all 82 games as a rookie. All 82 games, Mario Chalmers started for the Miami Heat as a rookie, second round pick. I'm just presenting you the argument here.
You can't be serious. You can't. Okay, let's retire Ronnie Turiaf's number. He started 82 games and won a championship.
Jason Williams,
white chocolate.
But Jason Williams didn't spend, 7 years as a member of the Miami Heat. He won one championship. We're all very grateful for Jason Williams, but his legacy is elsewhere. His legacy is before the Miami Heat. You know, his stint with the Heat was more just kind of the icing on the cake for him, right?
So did the Kings retire Jason Williams' number?
No, they don't retire Jason Williams' number.
Really?
I don't think they do.
Bro.
Goran Dragic, by the way, will start. I know Filero said it earlier, but Hector and I don't believe anything Filero says.
That's fine.
You're fake news, bro.
I truly believe Mario Chalmers gets his jersey retired.
No, 560, you don't believe that. You're just making it up.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
Let's retire Norris Cole. He came off the bench and won two championships.
But you're just being ridiculous.
No, how?
That's by the way, the Heat only won championships when Norris Cole was a member of that team.
So let's retire it. Let's retire Shane Battier's number.
You're just being ridiculous. So
the same thing.
No, they don't have the same track record with the Heat that Chalmers does.
Mario Chalmers has no track record with the Heat. He was not good.
I just don't get what you're doing there. Like, he was good. He was a starter for this team. He was one of the main scorers for this team.
Scorers, huh?
Yes, that, scorers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, with LeBron, Dwayne, and Bosch.
He helped anchor the defensive unit, which is one of the best defensive units of all time.
Yeah, 10 points and 2 rebounds. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's Hall of Fame worthy. Retire his number. Makes no sense, Solana. Like, just let it go. Let go of Mario Chalmers. I like them as a player, but I didn't like him as a player sometime too. So just relax.
So you don't want Chalmers back this season?
No. What is he going to bring?
And you don't want his jersey retired?
No. No. What, are we just giving away jersey numbers now?
And you're not going to Art Basel tonight?
Heck no, I'm not going to Art Basel. I get off at 10 o'clock? I'm going to go to sleep. I'm tired.
You suck, man.
I'm sorry, bro. I don't like to spend money and go out to things I don't want to go out to.
Goran Dragic, he's going to be back tonight. Are any of you going to watch this game? I mean, we're going to be working for the first hour of it. But
yeah, the first hour.
Exactly. I'll watch the first hour. Maybe listen to it on the ride home. That's it.
You can listen to the next 2 hours of us next on 560 WQAM.